This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We are going to be pivoting to our first story this hour, which is the question of whether we're ready to hold snap elections. Now, I have to say this completely upfront. There is, I don't want to be alarmist. We're not saying that it's going to happen in any way or form. But the phrase has come up. Rumours of Pakatan Harapan's counter-coup against Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin has prompted Dato' Sri Najib Razak to say that if it does succeed, if this counter-coup does succeed, then there would need to be snap polls since a Pakatan government would have a slim majority and be too unstable. Of course, you could argue that we're seeing that play out in another form right now. Segamput MP Hannah Yeo has criticised the former Prime Minister, saying that it was atrocious of him to bring it up as the rakyat deals with the economic impacts of COVID-19. And so with that little exchange, we thought that it would be a good time to talk about this, right? It opens up the question of whether people are mentally or emotionally prepared for this. We have had a, by all measures, a very, very difficult 2020. We are relatively fresh out of a political, just massive political turmoil. Then we hit it straight into COVID-19 and the MCOs. And so I think that there is a general sense of exhaustion at the ongoing politicking and bickering that happens at the highest levels of government. And there's also the question of public health and safety. I mean, if you do have an election and if, you know, you do remember your own experience of voting and showing up, waiting in line, having, you know, being crammed in schools and what have you, then we'll know that if we were to have any sort of election, it would have to look very, very different to how it did previously. And so if snap polls do happen, analysts say that voter apathy might lead to a historically low turnout due to all the things that we've just been talking about. Voters, especially older ones, might not want to go out and vote to avoid exposure. And then SOPs like physical distancing might also mean longer wait times. Now, having said all that about a phantom snap poll, we do know that there is an upcoming by-election. And so the Election Commission is already preparing special guidelines for the Chini by-election. And these guidelines are meant to account for COVID-19. So in theory, we wouldn't be totally unprepared if snap polls are actually called. So we wanted to explore what these guidelines would look like and also what our preparedness actually is. And so to do that, we're going to be talking after this with Art Harun, who's the chairman of the Election Commission. But of course, if you would like to weigh in on, you know, how do you feel? Like, if we were to have a snap GE called, are you ready? Are you tired? Let us know. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. And of course, those are also the numbers to reach us if you have a question for Art Harun, who is going to be our guest right after this. You're listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It is coming along to 6:15 in the evening and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. Our first story this hour, as mentioned, is about Malaysia's preparedness in the event of snap elections. This is coming because we've heard Dato' Sri Najib Razak saying that if a counter coup by Pakatan Harapan happens, then there would need to be snap polls since a Pakatan government would have a slim majority and be too unstable. And so in light of that, we're just exploring what that would look like and how Malaysians are feeling about this. Because like we said, it's been a very, very tiring year, not least politically, you know, and that's before we get into everything else. So do share, you know, do you think we're ready? How are you feeling? You know, would it affect how you feel about the act of voting even? You can call us at 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. And you can do all that also if you have questions for our guest, because joining us now on the line is Azhar Azizan Harun, who is better known as Art Harun, Chairman of the Election Commission. Art, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start with the big question. If snap polls were to be held unexpectedly, say in the next month, would the EC be prepared to hold them?
Well, we have been on alert for for any kind of election for quite some time now. So I think once, if the parliament is dissolved under the current constitutional framework, we have 60 days from the date of dissolution to organize an election till its completion. Yeah. So we will have 60 days. So we will have to be ready, and I think we are ready to face that kind of situation. It is without doubt going to be challenging, because in normal circumstances, you know, preparation done gradually over a period of time. So if it has to be done within 60 days, then it's going to be more challenging, of course. Yeah.
Now, having said that, I mean, since the EC is already prepping for the Chini by-election, maybe you could give us some insights into the new SOPs drawn up to deal with COVID-19.
Yeah. What happened was during the second week of the MCO, we were already brainstorming on having an SOP for an election during the COVID-19 pandemic. So we were quite prepared for that because we were already weighing in several initiatives to have an election during COVID-19. So we have engaged with the relevant authorities, the PDRM, Kementerian Kesihatan, the NATMA, and the MKN, Majlis Keselamatan Negara. So we have engaged with them a few times, and we have prepared SOPs to take into consideration the COVID-19 situation. So the SOP now is almost finalized. It's almost finalized. So nomination day now is on 20th June, and the by-election, the polling day is on 4th July. So on the assumption that the CMCO is extended during that period, and the CMCO conditions are the same as now, okay? So there is an SOP ready for that. So we will, of course, try to minimize the risk of the spreading of COVID-19 from the nomination day onward until the polling day on the 4th. So we want to minimize that. So, of course, there will be social distancing. There will be wearing a mask. There will also be checking of temperature. There will also be the use of sanitizers going in and coming out. And we will also have to record the phone number of people who attended, because, you know, we need that for contact. The KKM later would need that for contact tracing if there was any infection that happened on that day. We also take into consideration those people who may be found to have fever or they'll be coughing on that day. So they will just have to go to a special tent. And they will be attended to by election workers in full PPE suits. Comply with the normal SOP in handling people with symptoms of COVID-19. There are also SOP. Basically, the SOP covers the whole processes of election. The seven processes, you know, the nomination day, the printing and posting of ballot paper, the undi awal day, the campaign period, the 14-day campaign period, and the day that we distribute election material to the various offices, the polling day itself, and the announcement of result itself. So it covers the whole seven processes of election. We also even have SOP on how to handle the postal ballot paper. You know, because we wouldn't know the postal voter may have COVID. So even how to handle the postal ballot paper, there is a specific SOP for that.
And if we were to extend these SOPs from a by-election to a general election, what kind of adjustments would you have to make?
Okay, before that, I forgot to mention one thing. In the voters' card that we are sending to the 21,000 voters in Sini, the voters' card will now also have a time period within which the voter concerned is encouraged to come out to vote. Okay? So, you see, voting time is still the same, 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., but the voters' card will have a specific time for the specific voter to come out to vote. So that will, we hope, if they come out within that period, then there wouldn't be too many people at the polling center.
So
at
that's
any
a
time.
Recommendation more so than
a recommendation.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Because the you know, we cannot, it cannot be mandatory because the voting period is 8 to 5:30, so we cannot force them to do that. But we are encouraging them to come out within that period in order to, prevent too many people coming out at the same time. Yeah, coming back to your question, if he was a GE, then of course if the CMCO is still enforced at the time of the GE, then it will be the same. It will have to be the same.
Understood. And with that said, then, we do have this question from Darren, which I think is somewhat related to what you were saying earlier about the recommended times. Darren wants to know whether the voting could potentially be held over several days.
For Chini, it's only one day because there are only 21,000 voters. And we have increased the number of voting stream to 66 streams, I think. So now we have an average of 350 voters per stream, you know, as opposed to before, it was only like 46 streams or 50 streams, you know. Mm-hmm. So we increased the number of streams so that there will be less number of voters per stream. So we could still do it within one day, of course. But for general election, of course, if needs be, if the situation is quite bad and there is a need to stretch the polling day to several days, then we may have to consider that, of course. Yeah,
and
I wouldn't discount that. Yeah.
And the question that also comes up often in relation to elections is, of course, that of cost. Do you see it being more expensive potentially to hold elections during COVID-19?
Yeah. It is. It is substantially more expensive. Okay, if you look at, this is the 12th by-election. In the past 11 by-elections, the average, the amount that we spend range between 2.7 million to 3.4 or 3.5 million, per by-election. For Chini, we have budgeted 4.7 million just to cater for 21,000 voters, you know. So if we take 3.4 million as the highest before this, then it is an increase of it's about 40% over.
Another big question, one that we've put to you before, Art. So we do have a question from Raj who says, please consider blockchain-enabled fully digital voting. We have the turnkey solution. Yeah. And so how ready are we to have online voting right now?
No, we have engaged many times with pro blockchain and anti blockchain and experts, and we are still engaging now. I have to say that we are not fully convinced of the security side of online voting as a whole, until and unless we are fully satisfied with that. We would not make a recommendation for that yet. You see, You see, it is not also it is not only a matter of security that we have to be convinced about. You know, it is also a matter of perception. You see, now we have manual voting, and basically there is a hard copy backup. Yeah, so once the matter goes to court for challenge, then I can just reopen the ballot box and show the court the ballot paper in specie. Yeah. Now, with regard to online voting, how do I do that? Let's say there is online voting and you vote for Party X, yeah, and 1,000 voters more vote for Party X. How do I prove that 1,001 guys, voters, vote for Party X when challenged later? Now, that's a problem. So if I was able to prove that in court, then people will say their votes are not secret. You get what I mean?
Mm.
So that is also another practical problem that I'm facing with regard to online voting. What if it is challenged? There are 1,000 challengers who say that, look, I vote for Party X. How do I know that my vote for Party X went into the system as Party X vote? Okay. If I go to court and I manage to prove that, then they will say, my vote is not secret. So that's a conundrum that we face, you know.
And so with that said, is it something that you are continuing to pursue, though?
We are continuing to engage. We are trying to find ways how to overcome that kind of challenge, apart from trying to convince ourselves the security side of it. Yeah.
We are getting a bunch of suggestions, actually. If I could just read them out to you. So,
but don't be too technical, because I'm not a technical person. Black blockchain. I'm not a blockchain expert. You know? Yeah, anyway, yeah, go on.
That's fine. I'm just going to put them to you as, you know, comments and suggestions. So Raj is back to say, with that argument, then how do we explain online banking? It should be trackable. And then we have Intan Sabrina saying, you know, print out the online vote, or data is stored and so it should be retrieved and printed as a hard copy. And then Kelvin is saying it can be encrypted. So I'm also not a technical person, but I'm just putting that to you as suggestions and comments.
Yeah, but the crux of the matter is, once I manage to prove that, then the vote is not secret. You get what I mean?
Sure, yes.
Yeah, that is the crux. See, okay, of course I can have a system where once you vote for X, it goes to the system as X and it's counted as X and then it's printed somewhere, hard copy and so on and so forth. But once I do that, then the argument is it's not secret.
So it's applying all the different principles of having the vote and having the vote count.
I'm not looking at methodology at all. I'm looking at it as principle, as a matter of principle. Once I manage to trace a vote and prove that in court when challenged, then the argument would be the vote is not secret.
Well, based at least on listener feedback, it's definitely something that people are continuing to be interested in.
Of course. We are very interested in it as well. And we've been looking at it very, very seriously. There are a number, I've had teleconferences with people from Austria, from I can't remember what other country experts, you know, and when this is brought up, then, you know, everybody admits that, yeah, I mean, once you manage to prove it, then people will say it's not secret. So basically, what I'm advised to do is to actually gradually break the people into this online voting thingy, you know. I cannot just introduce online voting. I have to introduce it bit by bit so that people get used to the idea of online voting. You know, create a culture of online voting until such time when the people are ready, they have full confidence in it, then you can introduce online voting 100%. You know, so we have to start somewhere a little bit here and there, probably, I don't know, I mean, university election or whatever, or some small election somewhere. So start, create this culture so that people may one day have full trust in online voting. Then only it could be implemented fully.
Excellent.
We're looking at that as well, yeah.
Art, thank you so much for weighing in today.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you so much.
That was Art Harun, Chairman of the Election Commission, talking about the EC's preparedness for by-elections as well as the potential of a snap GE. We're going to head to the news. You're listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.